Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Always up to something good. He always has a working plan, and He always has a backup plan. The Lord is so together in what He does. Now, those who follow Him are those who see Him move. Those who obey Him, they get to see miracles done throughout their lives from time to time. And those who are anointed and they follow God in their anointing. Everybody that's anointed, everybody who God has anointed, they don't always obey God with their anointing. Sometimes they compromise. Sometimes they don't do what they should do, or they don't teach what the Holy Spirit prompts them to teach. They teach something else according to the tradition that they like more. And this is a problem. But those who yield to the Lord are the ones that the Lord can mightily use to move in their lives and be a blessing to other people. Every anointed person has to make the choice. We have to make the choice to be obedient. Without obedience, our anointing can't work. It's there, but it's dormant. When a person is anointed to do something and they are in link with God, they are in agreement with the Lord, and they're actively doing what the Lord say, where He said, do it. You know, if the Lord anoint me with a message to preach, He gives me the message, and then and He shows me where I'm supposed to minister that message. Well, I have to be there at the right time in order for it to work out. But if I go to where I'm supposed to be and I get up to minister, and the Lord already put the message on my heart, and I preach something else, now The anointing is not operating like it should, because it is waiting on me to get myself together. But if I obey the Lord and speak the word that He gives, it will be prophecy to some, it will minister to some, the Lord will be blessing His people through a person like me. And a lot of preachers don't always follow through with God's best. They do something else. And it was prophesied that they do it that way. Peter said that when the original apostles die, people would do that. Paul said the same thing. He said wolves will come around. So, and it happened. There are many false teachers out there. They prophesied about false teachers. Everything that happens nowadays, it was prophesied over 2,000 years ago. It was prophesied by Peter. It was prophesied by Paul. There are tares among the wheat. And tares, they do the same things that Christians do, except they rebel against God. They don't like His ways. They don't love His people. And they teach doctrines. Many have given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So, and then there are many Christians who love God. But among the sheep of God's people, there are also tares. And we're still dealing with end times, but the Lord wants me to, this chapter of end times is dealing with tares. Because God is going to, He's sorting His people right now. Because tares, He's going to do something about the problem. Now the Lord loves everybody. He loves us. There's nothing we can do to earn His love. He loves us deeply. True Christians love God. Tares don't. Tares love popularity. Some of them love money. Some of them love fame. They love things like that. And when the Lord puts on their heart to do something, they're looking at what they stand to lose more than what's right. And when sin is like leaven. Leaven is the same word. Leaven is yeast. If you take yeast, which is leaven, that's just a Hebrew word for yeast. If you remember Quincy had the big fat yeast rolls? All right. If you take a little pinch of yeast and put it on a barrel of flour, over time, that whole barrel is going to be yeast. It's going to be leaven. When the Jews ate the Passover, after the Exodus, they ate flat bread. Bread that don't rise. It needs yeast to rise. They ate unleavened bread, which would probably look more like a tortilla. In other words, yeast is infectious. It spreads out. So when you start compromising with the Holy Spirit and not doing what He say, and you act on compromise more than the Word of God, then your heart gets harder towards God every time you do it. And tares, they get to where to the point where they don't have that love of God that they started with. They end up rebelling against God and doing things for whatever reason. Now, I don't like the fact that there are tares among them. I wish everybody just loved God like Jesus loved the church, like I love God. And like some of you love, I wish everybody just loved God and obey Him. It's so simple. But the enemy always comes every time with a lying alternative. And some people resist Him. And some people don't. And the ones that don't end up doing compromising things. There are tares among the wheat. And the Lord will not ignore it. He's not going to ignore it. He's not supposed to ignore it. He's going to do something about it. And the Word of God says what He's going to do. Now, you can't pretend sin away. You have to do something about it. Now, before it got to this point where He's going to do something about it, He pleaded with them. He sent messages and ministers to help people repent and turn from their wicked ways and their compromising ways. And they found a reason not to do it and hardened their hearts some more. So the Lord's going to do something about it. And He's doing it now. In Matthew chapter 13, He's prophesying about it. First, let's look at the parable of the sower. Verse 3 in chapter 13 of Matthew, it reads, And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and right away they sprung up because they had no depthness of earth. They didn't have roots. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. Then Jesus said, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to Him, Why speakest thou in parables? Now He spoke to them in parables, the same thing that the Lord told Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, in the year Uzziah died. He anointed Isaiah to blind rebellious Israel. Not all of Israel, but rebellious Israel, because just like the tares of our day, They rebelled against God. And verses 11 through 18 explains why he blinded them. Jesus is quoting Isaiah. Because they rebel. Now, the Lord gives grace to the humble and he resists the proud. Jesus spoke parables because he was resisting proud people, prideful people, people that were rebellious against him, people that were opposite of him in their heart. Now, the anointing of God does the same thing. It feeds those that are hungry and it resists those that rebel against him. Okay, and so verse 18, well, verse 17, Jesus said, "For verily I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." Therefore, he said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." The wayside is where people walk. It's a walk. It's the path people walk on, and the ground is harder. And if you plant seeds there, it's not going to grow because the ground is hard. The seed can't get buried in it, and the birds of the air come and take it. So when somebody preached the gospel and say Jesus died for us, he washed away our sins and with his blood, and he arose the third day to justify us. Well, to people that love this world and the ways of this world and they refuse to believe God, when they hear it, immediately the enemy comes to help them harden their hearts some more, because the word can't get in, and it'll be as if they never heard it before. Because the enemy, through their strife and through their rebellion, he will steal the word that could have saved their life if it had gotten in their heart. This is why the Lord has greater mercy on little children, because their hearts are not hard. And it's easier to get a child saved than a grown man. In most cases. Children, they don't resist God like that. They are taught to resist God. Through hurts, through fears, through evil, and through weakness. And the enemy sets them up while their heart is tender. All right, verse 19. So the enemy comes and catches away that which was sown in their heart. That's the wayside. Verse 20, "But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that hears the word, and with joy receive it. Yet hath he not much root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended." If you got a lot of rocks in a garden, the water can't get past that rock, and the ground underneath the rock is dry. But around the rock, the rain can get to it, and it's a little bit softer, but it's still stony ground, and the roots can't grow deep because it don't get as much water. It's kind of like a tree. You know, the tree was there, and they came and put a road beside it. Well, the tree got roots underneath that road, but he can't get no water because the road is blocking those roots. And when the storm come through, the tree by the sidewalk always get knocked down when the straight line winds come. Real Christians have real roots, and their heart is soft enough for the word of God to penetrate it and grow, and they become strong. Now, when we all get saved, when tares and wheats, when we first get saved, we look no different. But people grow into something. And if you love God, you're going to grow stronger in him. If you love the world, you're going to grow stronger in your love for the world. There were two trees in the garden. You got to select the tree of life and reject the tree of the darkness, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the words of Satan. You got to take God at his word and reject Satan while he's talking with his words. And people that don't do that and invite Satan's words become tares. It's not rocket science. It's just a condition of the heart. And God can't ignore it and won't ignore it. He's going to do something about it. If you won't repent, you will be on the outside. If you repent and you do God's way and you love him in sincerity, you will live forever. It's not rocket science. It's not complicated. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Now, I always wondered, the thorny grounds, a lot of people are that way. And they are unfruitful. They don't bear fruit. They don't draw people into the kingdom. They worry about what they're going to eat, where they're going to live, what they're going to drive. They worry about money. And that consumes the strength of the word that got in their heart. It's like having a garden with weeds in it. If you ever had a garden with a lot of weeds, you had a little bit of fruit. Your watermelons didn't get fat. Your corn didn't grow tall. It had weeds in it. If you're worrying about tomorrow, worrying about what you look like, worrying about what you're going to have, what you don't have, instead of spending time with the Lord, you're not growing. You're being stifled. And even if you are saved, you don't bear fruit. All right, he said, but he that receives seed into good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also beareth fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. These are the people who hear the word of God. They receive it. They act on it. They're teachable. The Holy Spirit can guide them. If the Holy Spirit rebuke them and show them what they need to do, they'll do it. If they're wrong, they repent. They don't sleep in it. If they find themselves doing something they shouldn't, they ask God to help them. If they get caught up in a weakness, they cry out to the Lord for help. And the Lord does help them. He loves us. He's not against us. But understand, he's protecting heaven. He's not going to let sin enter in. Nobody's going to get to bring their sin to heaven. If you try to do it, you will be blocked. You're going to have to trust him and reject sin for what it is. In your heart. I'm not talking. Some people, they have a love for God, but they may lack skill in winning in their battles, but they won't help. They are not tares and they're not hypocrites. If a man just got saved and he was strung out on drugs, he doesn't have the wisdom to stand. He wants to stand. He desires to stand. He loves God. He asks God for help. But he's not good at standing. It's just like a man that's an alcoholic. He asks the Lord to save him. He wants help. He seeks the Lord to help him. But he still got the same stomach, the same cravings. Some people are addicted to sex. Jesus broke that curse. You don't have to live there. In none of these things. If you believe on Jesus, you get a brand new heart. But you got to walk in his light. And if a person is attempting to walk in the light and fall, that doesn't mean that they're out of the kingdom just because they fail. Now, I've known people that get up and they ask the Lord to forgive them, and they start studying the word, they get stronger until they get out of that junk. But people who sneak and hide and do these things and won't repent, they are tares. Tares are among us. Tares do things like that, and they don't feel guilty, and God and the Lord won't even correct them. God chastens his people. If you did something wrong and the Lord chastens you, guess what? He chastens his own blood, his own people. If you can do wrong and the Lord don't say anything, you better get saved, because you're not. If it don't bother you to sin and you can just sin and forget about it and go to sleep, act like nothing happened, you need to get saved. The Lord loves his people, and the Lord is serious. I don't want anybody to be a tear. God don't either. I'm not trying to call them out. I'm not trying to pick out, hey, he's a tear. I can't do that. I don't do that. I'm just saying that tares are out there, and God is going. He's got to do something about it. And I'm warning people that he's going to do something about it. And he's sorting his people out now. So this is a day where you need to stand firm in the Lord and get to know him. Be teachable. Be trainable. Don't do what the world doing, because they going to hell. Don't do what rebellious people do, because you don't want their success and you don't want their results. And you don't have to have it or end up with it. Now, guess what? We out of time, but the Lord is not. He will still continue to teach those who seek him, who want to know him. Those who seek him to know him. Those who don't try to hide. First thing Adam did when he sinned was try to hide. But David said, Lord, I sinned against you. He admitted it. And the Lord was able to forgive him of his horrible sin. Now remember, till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.